Thanks for listening to this podcast. I'm Bob Kinzel, co-host of Vermont Edition. Just wanted to let you know that this has been edited for brevity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Last week, Vermont's Department of Public Safety announced that state police barracks were going to be added to the list of sites where people can drop off unused or unwanted medications to be safely disposed of. The state has been participating in annual drug take-back days for the better part of a decade, when people can go to pharmacies and police stations around the country to hand in pharmaceuticals. And some of those places allow drop-off at other times during the year as well. But in an effort to make it as easy as possible to get rid of powerful medications, the state has been expanding the program. We're going to talk about how it's been going today, and we're also going to look at the environmental impacts of medications winding up in the waste stream or water supply. But first, let's talk safety. Thomas Anderson is commissioner of the Department of Public Safety. Roger Marcoux is sheriff of Lamoille County and is coordinating the state's year-round drop-box program. It's a pleasure to have you both on the show today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you for having us.
So last week you did announce that new state police barracks, I think six of them, will now be added to the list of sites that can do year-round drop-off of prescription medication. So how many places can Vermonters now go, Commissioner?
So when we get these six online, we have six online with the at the barracks right now, there'll be a total of about 48. We're hoping to get that up to 50, but between police stations, the barracks, sheriff's offices, there'll be 48 places where people can drop off drugs 365 days a year.
And this is separate from some pharmacies, which also allow drop-off, right?
Absolutely. The Department of Health, which is a great partner with us in the drug take-back, also has drop-boxes at some hospitals, at some pharmacies, and some long-term care facilities. So there are a number of places where they can be dropped off.
So Sheriff Marcoux, how does the program actually work? You just go and, you know, slide something in a box that looks like a mailbox? I mean, how does one do this?
Yeah, we call them kiosks, and they are stationed at various places around the municipal departments and now the barracks with the state police and the sheriff's departments. People can go. Sometimes it's 24 hours a day, and in other places it's just during business hours. But they can go, no questions asked, just like you would one of the old-fashioned mailboxes, open the cover and put your items in there, and then we coordinate picking them up with the various sheriff's departments, who then work with their law enforcement agencies within the county, and that's how it's done.
And do you expect people to open their pill bottle and dump individual pills in, or can they just shove the whole plastic container in with the pills or whatever liquid medication they might have?
Yeah, we try to stay away from liquid medication, but I will say that many people do have over-the-counter or prescription liquid medication in there. But you can do it either way. We prefer having it in some kind of a container.
You
so
do.
That one or two doesn't get loose and you know, during the pickup. So
how do you balance the need for this to be able to be anonymous? So somebody, you know, whatever, you can just go drop it off. You don't have to prove to somebody that it's yours or that it's legal or, you know, that you are supposed to have it. You can go drop it off because you want this to be easy. You want people to be able to take these medications and get rid of them. And yet, presumably, you also don't want a site that's not secured or, you know, where there are no cameras where some kind of illicit activity could happen. So how do you balance the need for safety with the need for privacy, Commissioner?
Yeah, so I think the overall goal of this program is to reduce the number of prescription opioids that are subject to misuse. So as Roger indicated, you know, this is completely anonymous. The only reason we have security, for example, at the barracks is to just ensure the integrity of the drop box. Obviously, these things are going to be filled with a lot of different medications. It's not just opioids that are getting dropped off. You're going to get all kinds of any type of prescription medication can be dropped off. So we are trying to balance just the keeping them safe and secure so that the boxes aren't subject to being lost or stolen. At the same time, giving people the opportunity to drop these off in an anonymous fashion. Because just to frame the issue for you, it's a huge issue. Between 2010 and 2018, Vermont healthcare providers issued about 3.5 million prescriptions for opioids. If each of those prescriptions had 10 pills in them, that's 35 million pills. Now, obviously, some of those are being used legitimately, and they're used as prescribed. But there was a recent John Hopkins study that indicated that for surgery-related opioids, that 42 to 71% of the opioids prescribed were not used. So as you can see, there's a huge reservoir. I think they called it a reservoir of opioids out there that are subject to misuse. So, and when you have three out of four people that became addicted to heroin through the misuse of prescriptions, you can see getting these prescriptions out of medicine cabinets that are no longer being used or no longer wanted and destroyed is really, really important to reducing the supply of these opioids out in the communities.
Sheriff Marcoux, do you have a sense of how much of the medication that is actually put into these drop-off locations is opioid medication?
I don't. The DEA started this program several years ago. They have an estimate that 10% of all of the drugs that are taken back in the hundreds of thousands of pounds, I think, nationwide is opioid related. But to my knowledge, they have never done never conducted an audit to test that. And that's going to be a piece of what we're going to do.
So you are planning to do an audit? Because right now you don't go through every pill and you know, divide out what kind it is, right?
We're working with the Department of Health and whom administer this contract. And one of the there's three focal points to the program. One is the actual drug take back, the pickup, which we do on a monthly basis. The second one is an audit done with through pharmaceutical, either students or whoever the Department of Health enlists to do it, where they take random samples of these boxes and we see what we're actually getting. And then the third will be a mail back. There's a current mail back right now, but there'll be a mail back directly to our office. So with prepaid envelopes out there, and those are the three things that we're looking to accomplish here.
But, and when you say a mail back, you mean like I could put my medication into an envelope and mail it to you, and that's how you know what I'm dropping off, essentially?
Well, yes. We'll take those envelopes. It'll just be easier for some people who perhaps have transportation problems or whatever to be able to still participate in the program.
Or forgetfulness problems. I mean, I can imagine taking a medication out of my cabinet and saying, I need to go take this to the state police barracks, and then leaving it in my car for 3 weeks where it is potentially more available for theft and more available for, say, small children who would like to find something in a car but wouldn't necessarily find it in a locked high cabinet.
Right.
And when it comes to opioids, if that's sort of the focus of this, to really make sure that we're addressing the opioid epidemic, Commissioner Anderson, is 10%, if 10% of these are opioid prescriptions, is that still success to you?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at I think the last couple of take back days, people have turned in about 6,000 pounds of prescription medications. If 10% of that is opioids, that's still about, 600 pounds of opioids that are now not available to be misused and abused. So one thing I did want to follow up, the Department of Health is sponsoring, and they have sponsored a medication mailback envelopes that launched in June. I think to date they've sent out about 19,000 have been distributed in Vermont, and it's really a very easy and secure way to dispose of medications. I think when you put them in there, something happens. There's some chemical reaction that may make them unusable.
Oh, into the envelope itself?
Huh. I'd have to check with the health department, but my recollection is that there's some sort of, when you put these envelopes, it makes them unusable going forward. So,
right, because wouldn't it ordinarily be a problem for someone to just dump an opioid prescription into an envelope and put it into the federal mail system?
I think the post office might frown on that.
But this system is legal if you get one of those envelopes.
Right. So that is a program the health department has pushed out, launched in June, and according to Dr. Levine, about 19,000 have already been distributed in Vermont. So again, we're trying to attack this on multiple fronts. Both the health department, the sheriffs, the police chiefs around the state have been great partners in this, and now the Vermont State Police adding drop boxes to the barracks. So it is really one way we can reduce the supply of these drugs out in the communities. And it's really important. I mean, I've said it before, this is a statewide problem, and really it's going to take a statewide solution. Everybody in Vermont doing their part to get rid of these drugs. So, you know, I'm asking everybody in Vermont to, you know, take the opportunity to get these medicines out of your medicine cabinet and get them destroyed. I mean, it's a small part, but it's an important part.
Sheriff Marcoux.
I don't want to forget to give a shout out to the prevention coalitions in the state, because they're the ones who are really in tune with the various communities and regions that they serve, and they're pushing the agenda. And when you're taking this many prescription drugs out of circulation, that takes some effort in marketing this program. And they have been wonderful partners. They've helped a lot of the communities with the drug take-back boxes, the kiosk. And just before we get too far into the program here and I forget, I appreciate their efforts statewide.
Jim and Jean Moser founded a campaign called Zero Left a few years ago to educate patients about opioids and medication disposal after their son Adam died of an apparent fentanyl overdose in 2015. And just last week as well in New Hampshire, New Hampshire's Governor Sununu kicked off a statewide campaign that's focused on the same type of stuff we're talking about here in Vermont today. And Jim Moser was part of that, and he's on the line with us now. Jim, it's nice to talk with you. Thanks for calling in.
Yep, you're welcome. Glad to help.
How do you think proper disposal actually helps with the opioid epidemic? I mean, is that really an area where you think people are getting opioids and starting to become addicted?
Absolutely. I mean, we're the poster child, if you will, for that. Our son got prescription opioids out of our own kitchen cabinet, which we used as our medicine cabinet. We stored our narcotics right beside the brown sugar and the vitamins and everything else. And he fed an addiction that he ultimately died from fentanyl. But it all began with his abuse of prescription opioids.
So you really think these drop-off locations, having it available for people whenever and wherever they need to drop off a prescription, is a helpful way and something that more people should know about, it sounds like?
Absolutely. I mean, all opportunities to dispose of the medication are good. You know, whether it's the police station or you know drop off in the our program, the Zero Left program, tries to encourage it to be part of the regular health care flow. When you come back for your follow up, you bring your extra pills, and if you forget to do that, you're sent home with a disposal bag that you can dispose of the product right in your own home. You just tear off the top, put the pills into it, add water, shake it up, and it goes right in your own trash. Even the bag itself is biodegradable. So all the things combined, and in the end, the most important thing is the education you receive when you're doing that. You wouldn't do that unless you finally understood that these were significantly dangerous products to lay around carelessly in your home like we did. So we paid the price for that and speak because we feel our son's death was entirely preventable. So that's something we carry to our grave.
Yeah, and now are trying to prevent other families from having to go through, it sounds like. And I'm curious what more you'd like to see the state of New Hampshire do to help you in this cause.
Well, what's recently happened is New Hampshire has just adopted the hub-and-spoke model that Vermont has had for years. And, you know, I mean, if you think back in history, Vermont used to be, I think, in the top seven of opioid death rate for the country, and they're no longer. And I think the hub-and-spoke model has been a good way to get that outreach through all communities, and New Hampshire has recently adopted that. So that couple, you know, the fact that Zero Left gets to ride along on those coattails is very exciting for us because, again, we're gonna take more excess opioids off the street, and we're gonna educate people at the same time. So, and the governor, and then this is all made possible through this whole rally support program, which is really help bring the whole thing statewide, which is our dream when we began it, you know.
Well, Jim, I'm very sorry to hear about your son and appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about your Zero Left campaign and what's happening in New Hampshire. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for talking about it.
We are talking today about what to do with unused medication. Obviously, opioids a big problem throughout the country and something that many officials all around the many states are trying to deal with. And dropping off medication is one way to do that, but it incorporates and encompasses more than just opioids. So we're talking about how the program works and what officials know or think is being dropped off. Let's go to Paul, who's calling in from Bridport. Hi, Paul. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jane. Good afternoon. I had an occasion to return some unused opioids to get rid of them, and I'm in Middlebury, and so I took them to the police station. And when I got there, I was instructed to simply put them in the bin. There's a big metal bin there, and what puzzled me or what disturbed me was there was no record made of what I brought in. So there's no way of knowing what was there, and I was thinking that, well, I was worried about this stuff being perhaps returned to the public, but here we are. It's in the bin, and it's not been recorded. Nobody knows what I put in there, how much it was there, and it could be returned to the public by, you know, another source, whoever handled it next, for example. So I'm wondering what might be done about that side of a possible leak back into the public of these materials.
Paul, thanks for the question. I appreciate hearing it. Commissioner Anderson, you jumping on this.
Yeah, so I think that's what we're trying to balance is we want an anonymous drop-off, and we've taken significant precautions to ensure that exactly what Paul described, doesn't happen, that they aren't misused or diverted from these boxes, and that's where Roger Marcoux comes in. I mean, Vermont's fortunate to have a public servant like Roger Marcoux that has taken this on and is picking these drugs up statewide. And he can talk with much more authority than I can as to what the safeguards are to make sure that these drugs are going from the person to the drop box, from the drop box to Sheriff Marcoux, from Sheriff Marcoux to the DEA for incineration. We have taken great pains to make sure that that's carefully done and securely done. And Roger, I'm sure, can talk with much greater authority than I can on that.
There's certainly been well-publicized incidents of abuse by police officers in this, two or three that I'm aware of. And quite frankly, the liability to police departments and chiefs and communities is really what's prevented many communities from participating in this. So my experience with drug enforcement goes back to the 1980s, where, incidentally, I first met the commissioner when he was an assistant U.S. attorney. So and I was on a DEA task force where we were trained probably by the best of all agencies to deal with and account for drugs. So what we've done is – the anonymous nature of this is paramount to its success. People need to may not bring them if they have to deal with paperwork and actually come deal with police officers face to face. So what we've done is made sure that any time we go out to work with the other sheriff's departments to pick these up, that we have body cameras. There are two people at all times handling these drugs. They're weighed with portable scales at the site, and the police department or the sheriff's department is given a receipt. And this is all paperwork that we developed, and it was vetted by the Department of Health. Then once it comes back to our facility, it's weighed again and logged in, with multiple deputies. And then the next time we handle it is when we take the aggregate of five or six months of drugs, and we coordinate with a DEA that it's weighed a third time, and then it's handed off to the custody of the DEA from there, where it's incinerated in a location.
So. Are you saying that at each of the sheriff's stations and state police barracks and police officers' stations that these boxes are locked and that the officers there can't actually open them? So they are essentially locked until they get to you?
That is going to be the case with the Department of Public Safety and the Vermont State Police. They will not have access to them. The sheriffs, which statewide is a partner in this, they'll have access to retrieve the drugs, and then they come to us. Some of the municipal agencies have access to the kiosk. So then it really falls upon supervision and accountability, and there's just no helping some degree of liability of chance that you take. So we're hoping for good police work to be able to get through that. But I understand the issues very well.
We're talking today about expanded programs to make sure that potentially dangerous drugs are disposed of properly and can't get into the hands of people who might abuse them or even just take them accidentally, like children. But it's not just for legal and diversion reasons that drugs should be disposed of properly. If dumped in the trash or down the toilet, these chemicals can get into our waterways, even into our food stream. Christine Vitovic is an expert on the effect of discarded prescription drugs on the environment, and she teaches at UVM's Rubenstein School of Environment and Natural Resources. She joins our panel now for the rest of the show. Nice to have you with
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having me.
So what is the problem? I mean, if I'm going to dispose of a medication and it's already in my bathroom, why not just throw it down the drain?
Sure. So when we throw something down the drain or when we put it in the trash, both of those ways lead to environmental pollution. Down the drain, things go either into a municipal wastewater treatment system, where these treatment systems are not designed to remove chemicals. So in a study that we recently conducted with the USGS, we were sampling the wastewater effluent, so the clean water coming out of the wastewater, and we were trying to find out how many pharmaceuticals are in there. We were able to test for 110, and we detected 51 pharmaceuticals directly entering Lake Champlain. And this is not unusual. These sorts of studies have been conducted around the country and around the world. And typically we're finding that about 80% of surface waters are contaminated with pharmaceuticals.
And then what? So the contaminants are out there, but if it's not really going to do anything to me, you know, you can get that sort of, okay, but I don't care if it's not really a problem. But is it really a problem?
Well, so there are two potential ways that it's a problem. One is for aquatic species in particular, and then also some of the waterfowl. We are finding more and more studies are being done to try to understand this ecological impact piece. And we are seeing a variety of different impacts that pharmaceuticals are having because these drugs are designed to have a biological effect. And they tend to continue having that effect on non-target species. So if a human uses it or veterinarian chemicals as well, once it is disposed or excreted, so a lot of these chemicals, our bodies don't fully metabolize them. And then when we urinate, we pee them right into the wastewater, and they'll end up in the same system out into the lakes where they can be accumulated, or this idea of pseudo-persistence, where this basically means that when you're continually allowing these chemicals out into the system, because every day you take your medicine, every day you're peeing some amount of it out, it ends up in the system continually, and now all the fish, the zooplankton, the bacteria in the lake are being subjected to it continuously. And some of the main effects that are most well known include endocrine disruptions. So some of the male fish have been found to have female eggs produced within their systems because their hormone systems are impacted by these synthetic drugs. But the other well-known one is antibiotic resistance. When we have the antibiotics entering into the lake system, the bacteria that are out there in the lake are responding to these, and we end up having the resistant bacteria able to survive and evolve in that system. And now the antibiotics are becoming less useful, and we're needing stronger and stronger drugs to try to treat human bacterial infections in particular.
So obviously a drug take-back program is not going to address the issue of chemicals that are getting into the waste stream and into our water supply and food supply because people are excreting them. But do you think having a take-back program where people can actually go and drop off their medications is helpful?
Absolutely. And it's definitely one of the primary ways that has been encouraged for the environmental protection piece as well. Obviously, it's definitely a primary way of trying to get the drugs out of people's hands for diversion. But it's the number one way that we can currently try to minimize those environmental impacts, because someone was mentioning before the National Drug Takeback Day that was created by the DEA a number of years ago now. They have been able to collect over 300 tons of unused prescription medication over the past 10 years or so. So that just highlights that this is the tip of the iceberg for the materials that are out there that can be disposed of. In a recent study that we did here in Vermont, we surveyed Vermonters and found that about 60% of people had leftover unused medication that they had something, they have to do something with it. About half of the people are storing their unused medications, which leads to this diversion problem. but it also leads to the potential for the environmental impact when eventually someone might dispose of it. So we definitely want people to be educated about how to take back to these incineration programs.
Well, we actually got a note from Dave who comments on our site. I advise people not to get rid of unused opioids because when you really need them, they might be hard to get. When I had a kidney stone, they only gave me 3 Norco at the hospital. So Tommy Anderson and Roger Marcoux, you must deal with people who say, okay, but if I give it back, I don't have it. And what if I really need it? How do you address that, Tom Anderson?
Well, to me, that really is an educational component to so people understand that, you know, these are really dangerous drugs. And, you know, when you prescribe them, they're prescribed for a specific reason, not so they can sit in your medicine cabinet so you can use them one day because you had a headache. I mean, that to me is really an important part of the educational component of this epidemic so that people fully understand how dangerous these drugs really are. And, you know, it's kind of scary to think that I'm going to keep these drugs around because I might need them sometime in the future. We've taken great strides at the health department now through the limiting of the number of prescriptions that can be issued. I mean, the fact of the matter is this opioid epidemic started and is a direct result of the overprescribing of opioids. And to the extent we're getting back now to where we were 25 years ago or somewhere where we're simply prescribing less of these, that's a good thing. That is a curve that we need to bend. And so I think when we have people that have these in their medicine cabinet, the idea of keeping them around because I might need them sometime in the future is a mistaken way to think about it.
Let's go to Paige, who's calling in from Montpelier. Hi, Paige. You're on the air.
Hi, Jane. First of all, thank you very much for pointing out the environmental impacts as well as the human impacts of this drug problem. I appreciate that. And I just actually called to point out that I know in Montpelier and I think also in Barrie, the local police departments have, I guess you call them kiosks, for collecting unused prescriptions. And you can take them in and drop them off anytime you want to. That the police departments are open. And I suspect that other local police departments have done that as well. And I haven't heard that mentioned on your program, so I just wanted to point that out. Thank you.
Paige, yeah, thanks for the call. I think we were talking right at the beginning of the show about the fact that many of the sheriff's departments have these drop boxes now, 6 state police barracks, but also many local departments have these drop-off boxes where you can actually drop them off through local police departments. Appreciate hearing that Barrie and Montpelier are doing it, Paige. And let's go to Ann Gilbert, who is director of Central Vermont New Directions Coalition. That's a nonprofit that works to decrease youth substance abuse. Ann, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. And I was so glad to just hear Paige mention that about Barrie and Montpelier. But we have worked hard with the Vermont Department of Health and law enforcement as great partners to now have kiosks, drop boxes in all of the police departments within Washington County. And we're really working on safe use, so parents are monitoring the prescriptions and people are not sharing them. The safe storage, they're really locking them up and keeping them out of reach, and the safe disposal, which means not letting them in the compost or flushing them down the drain or putting them in the landfill, but really using these kiosks and also the mailback envelopes, which are now available from the Vermont Department of Health. And on their website, you can even apply for one online and it will get mailed to you. But these envelopes are also in Washington County at the senior centers and in our libraries and with Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice, so that it's one more easy way, as was mentioned earlier, to just put the drugs right in an envelope. It's postage paid. You pop it in the mailbox and it will be sent away for to be incinerated.
And thanks for your call. Appreciate hearing more about the work that you're doing and how you're looking at this as well. And let's go to another call from Ron in Middlebury. Hi, Ron.
Am I on the air?
You are on the air. Got a question?
Oh, my first time. I'm a big composter, and I'm wondering about what all the wonderful microbes do with drugs.
Ron, thanks for the call. So we heard Ann Gilbert say, yeah, don't put them through the compost. And I'm curious, Christine Vitovic, why not? Why not compost these? Isn't that a great way we're supposed to be doing? All of our waste should be composted now.
lots of waste should be composted, but not drugs. Mainly because, again, because these chemicals have a specific biological effect that they are meant to have. When we put them in the compost, it's possible that the bacteria will not be able to degrade them at all. Some of the sewage treatment plants have a biological processes that can break down some of these drugs, but not all. So I'm not even sure if putting it in the compost, what the effect would be. But my basic understanding is that you would still have, even if it broke down some amount, you might still have some metabolites left over or some component of the original drug left that then when you apply that compost to your garden or wherever you're putting it, it has the possibility that it would be taken back up into the plants.
Sheriff Marcoux?
I just wanted to point out some of what we're getting is related to chemotherapy. Very, very toxic. You can't even touch it with your hands. So for what that's worth, certainly I don't think you want the runoff from that, going out of your compost and leaching into other areas.
How do you ensure the safety of officers who are picking up these medications, not just chemotherapy drugs, but we know exposure to fentanyl can also be a problem for law enforcement? How do you deal with that?
Well, the kiosks have liners, and so obviously everybody takes precautions with gloves and what have you, but we shouldn't really be going directly hands-on to these drugs.
So these drugs, as you've mentioned, they're picked up, they're accumulated in a central location, and then they're incinerated, they're burned. So, Christine Vitovic, we know that incineration can also put chemicals into the air. Mm-hmm. Is it really safe to be burning these chemical mm-hmm. pharmaceuticals?
Yeah, so this is definitely an area of interest and continuing exploration in the scientific community. Right now, the best evidence is that the incineration is the best way to dispose of these because we know that the aquatic influences, the ecosystem effects of having it in the water from wastewater is the number one concern out there. Incineration, like you said, it will potentially put some of those chemicals into the air. Another concern related to it would be that the ash that's left over has to be disposed of and typically is disposed of in some of the higher, the places where you can take the toxic hazardous waste. And these landfills are potentially going to become a source for these in the future. So it's a concern, but right now, best evidence suggests that incineration is the way to go.
So we've talked about how this is one way to try to stem the tide in terms of opioid addiction and drug diversion. We've talked about how this is the best known way to keep these pharmaceuticals out of the waste stream, out of our water, away from aquatic animals. And we've talked a little bit about how more and more places are now available for people to do these kind of drop-off whenever they need to do it, whenever they want to do it anonymously. But Tom Anderson and Roger Marcoux, what's left in terms of this particular part of dealing with drugs and drug diversion?
I think for me, it's continuing this program. To me, it's educating the public so that we're in this together, and we need to find a solution together. And that when you get a prescription, whatever type of prescription is, particularly if it's a prescription for opioids, you should be thinking not only when you get it, but how am I going to get rid of these if I don't use them all? And the studies show that a lot of these don't get used. But you should be thinking about that when you get them. How am I going to get rid of these? It's really, really – it's a really important component of this equation.
Sheriff Marcoux, do you like what Tim Moser told us earlier, that this should be maybe something that you do every time you go back to the doctor? You take your prescription and you give it right back to the doctor who prescribed it?
I don't think that our program is the panacea to take care of the crisis we're in. Anything at all that will help keep these drugs out of circulation once they're not needed should be considered.
That's Sheriff Roger Marcoux, Sheriff of Lamoille County. He's the coordinator of the state's year-round Dropbox program. Thomas Anderson is Commissioner of the Department of Public Safety. And Christine Vitovic is an expert in the effect of discarded prescription drugs on the environment. She teaches at UVM's Rubenstein School of Environment and Natural Resources. Thank you very much. Appreciate this conversation that all three of you were having with us. Thanks.
Thanks for inviting us.
Thank you very much for having us.